Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. Join Heritage Foods USA this November. Reserve your heritage turkey today. Loved by all our chefs and customers for their unbeatable flavor. Visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985 to order yours. That's 718-389-0985.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
I'm back.
Can you dig it? Did you miss me, Judy?
Yes, I did miss you.
I was bereft without you. What happened? You tried to take over. Admit it. This was
I thought, okay, Mike.
You were trying to run a bloodless coup while I was out of town.
I know. I redrew the postcard. I put a your face here sticker over where your face would be, but no, it didn't work out.
You got a room full of Jews, but it didn't really help.
I had two and a half Jews in here.
Two and a half.
Well, there was a kid in here.
Yeah, the kid. It sounds like the results of an overambitious moil.
But even I know what that is.
Well,
yes, two Jews could not fill your Jew shoes.
Oh, Judy, we are the thing with two heads.
But where were you, Mike? I don't think our audience knows where you went. They were upset.
Hey, let me tell you, I was in Chicago and Detroit and points in between on the Dirty, Dirty, Dirty tour supporting my new book. We had a pizza named after me in the book in Chicago at Ian's in Wrigleyville.
They made the
Mike Edison Dirty Pie. It was andouille sausage, shrimp, and okra. It was a gumbo pie, the Mike Edison Dirty Pie. And we did a gig right in the pizzeria. This is the kind of book tour I'm in. We did a dive bar in Port Huron the night before. And then we stayed at a house that was built of bourbon.
Right.
You can imagine such a thing. Somehow got out
now
of there alive.
Now it's just a shell. Speaking of shells.
Somehow we got out of there alive. Did the next night in a pizzeria. And then Sunday afternoon, we're at the University of Chicago in, you know, a proper lecture hall.
Fancy.
And I was with my accompanist, Mickey Finn, world's greatest piano player.
I like Mickey.
Love Mickey. And I love having an accompanist. You know why? Because it makes me feel like Liza. That's Liza with a Z. So you've been up to all sorts of things in my absence. I understand you started a new business.
I started a new business and I haven't named it yet, but it's out on Life Booker this week. I will help you rewrite your personal ad. I've done it for so many people, like for their online dating profiles. I've done it for so many people for free. I figure I should start making some scratch off of this.
That's very smart. It's very Jewish of you to think that way. This is good. I feel like maybe...
See, you're a good influence. Maybe
we need a name for this business because to all you single online daters out there in Radio Land, I guarantee you, Judy won't guarantee it, but I will, that if she writes your online profile, you will get laid.
And Mike will give you a Schwanz back guarantee, and he will have sex with you if you can't.
Even if I have to fuck you myself, if you hire Judy to write your online profile, you will get laid.
Yes, thank you.
So, where are we going to find you, Judy?
We're going to find me at dategirl.net. The offer this week is for $49 for like over an hour of my time, which is money well spent.
$49 for an hour of your time?
Yeah, over the phone. I'm not going to do anything. I mean,
does that count as phone sex?
I hope not. It's mostly. I think this mostly goes out to women because it's usually a thing where you can get your eyebrows waxed at a discount or you can get a massage. But what I'm excited about is we have an actual journalist here this week. She's not the low-hanging fruit of the literati anymore.
I know, making us look bad since 2 p.m. this afternoon. It's Maura Johnson, who's the music editor of The Village Voice.
Hi, how are you?
The Village Voice, they're still in business?
Shut up. We both work for The Voice.
We both work for them, yes. Bite your tongue.
Well, the world's changed, right? I mean, The Village Voice is not The Village Voice that we used to know.
Well, everything is different, sure, but
we're not going to put down anyone's employer, Mike.
Right. I think that if you go to the Village Voice website at www.villagevoice.com/music, and if you see the posts that go up every day, because obviously like space in the paper is a lot less, but what we're making up for is a ton of content online, and where we have concert reviews every day and record reviews and think pieces and interviews. We had a great interview with Lou Barlow last week, Bob Mould.
And ain't that the way of the world, though? Real estate, ink and paper is getting pretty scarce.
Yeah.
What I meant about the Village Voice not being the Village Voice, and we're certainly big fans of yours, Maura. We love you. But what happened, I believe, with the Village Voice is everything became decentralized. It's owned by a company that now puts out 20-plus weeklies. Certainly weekly on the newsstand, circulation has dropped, but a lot of the stuff is coming from outside of New York.
You're great. I edit everything. I edit everything. It's completely 100% possibly to my as my therapist says, to my overworked detriment, all edited by me and commissioned by me. And it's all, you know, things that are happening around New York. We have a great column by Chris Weingarten, who is a dear friend of mine, where he spotlights different New York bands every week, two New York bands a week. And we have tons of really good writers. This guy, Jeff Rosenthal, who knows a lot about hip-hop, who just always brings the real talk about, you know, Krayshawn or whatever other rapper of the moment is taking over YouTube. So, I mean, music writing is really hard right now. Like, this is something that I say in everywhere, because people do it for free. And also, the thing is, because of, you know, if you want to make money off of it, you have to figure out a way to get people to click on your blog posts. So you have to sort of figure out some hook for people to get in, because like when they're reading, as opposed to reading a paper, when you're like reading a paper and you're sort of just like your eyes are flicking past and back and forth as you flip pages, and your eye falls on something and you're like, oh, this looks interesting, let me read it. But the thing is, with online, you have that extra sort of like second, and it seems so silly, but it's like a split second discrete choice to click or not.
And we talked about this. This is the click economy.
Right. So what happens is, like, you want to sort of put forth things that are really interesting and that people, you know, that you're like passionate about and that people should know about. But then you have this whole thing happen where it's like, people just are interested in reading the latest thing on something that they can like all pile onto and be like, yeah, that sucks. Well, so why is that popular?
This is why I'm so cynical about music journalism and, you know, and the Village Voice, not specifically in your case, because I know what a great job you guys do and that it is local coverage. But I mean, also when they got bought out, the first thing they did was fire Nat Hentoff, which, you know, will leave a thorn in my side forever. How a guy like that, who's been so important in writing about music and jazz and free speech and local politics, is somehow, you know, ballast for a ship that really shouldn't be sinking in the first place. Speaking of the click economy, though, doesn't that drive you or your employers, you know, to, like, you know, for the sake of the advertisers, which is how we stay in business, to do things that are more Googleable, to get people onto the page and to click through, rather than covering the things that you might like to cover ideally?
I try to strike a balance. I mean, it's really difficult. And like the one advantage of like having to post as much as I do every week is that I can sort of like balance like the stuff that's about, you know, say, well, last week, the big thing that everyone was piling on was that Metallica and Lou Reed record, right?
It sucks.
You know what's funny? If you listen to it five times, it sucks less, which is weird, but it's 90 minutes, right? So it's a 90-minute record with a 20-minute last song. And so it's actually designed to sort of like be completely antithetical to like the 30-second sample, I'm going to figure out my whole record based on this one song thing. And it definitely is not pleasant to listen to. And I don't like Lou Reed. I think that, you know, I think I understand his contributions to the culture from long ago, but like Lou Reed of 2011, it's like, okay, wait, you set the template and you're still working off it. That's great. But like, there are other things going on.
Well, he's just an angry old Jew. You know, I mean, really, he hasn't done anything likable in a long time.
He's not likable. I mean, I think that's sort of his charm. I mean,
he's very happy to be playing with Metallica, though. There are videos that have been posted of
he should be very happy to have any sort of career at all.
No, he's always going to have a career, though. Yeah. He's always going to have like the critics like certain critics liking him and certain people being like, he's in the pantheon forever.
When's the last good record Lou Reed really made seriously? I love the Velvet Underground,
but he doesn't have to. You know, there are certain artists who don't have to anymore.
Oh, God damn it. You know, I mean, I just hate setting this bar so low. I mean, I really I know people were all gaga for his record, New York. Remember that record, New York, came out in the early
80s? That was the 80s, right?
Right, New York. I hated that fucking record, to be honest with you. It just seemed like this laundry list of liberal causes. Yeah, oh, Lou's coming out against racism. Gee.
That was bold. Maybe he came out against rape, Lou. Too. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
I just can't wait for Metallica and Lou Reed to collaborate with Marky Mark on a remake of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch's big hit Wildside from 1991. I'm hoping that happens.
How very postmodern of you, Mara.
Well, you know. It's getting the nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia for the early 90s is it right now.
Is that
right?
Where it's at right now?
That is God. Where a lot of it's at right now, yeah. Boy.
So,
Seinfeld's parents need the early bird special again. Early 90s nostalgia.
I actually don't mind it that much, if only because the new bands that are coming out are sort of taking their cues from bands that I like.
At least it's not the fucking 80s anymore.
Who should we be listening to?
Well, do you want...
Well, no, not yet. Okay. We have an example.
Well, you know, there's a band from Brooklyn, and I will say I'm a little biased. Okay, so I teach at NYU, and I have these students who are great. They're all like students in this music program where they're learning. They're aspiring musicians and producers and engineers and stuff. And there's this one band from right around. Actually, I think she used to live at the McKibben Lofts, which is right around the corner.
That means she had bed bugs.
Yes, but she doesn't live there anymore.
Okay,
but there's a band called Beast Make Bomb, and they're really really great. And they have this really sort of great like pod era Breeders energy about them, and the front woman is amazing. And you know. I think there are worse cues to take from than that.
Yeah,
you know? And
nice she's poppy.
She's really smart, and I think that they're still a super young band. They've only been around for about a year and a half, and I think they're going to grow into something really good.
I hate rock music.
Oh, shut up. You do? No,
that's a lie. Really?
I'm just so over it. It's like moving boxes at the dock or something. It's just like so fucking dumb and stupid.
What do you like then?
Not
he
much
likes jazz.
Anything. Jazz. Well, you know, you say that with such disdain. you know, one of these days, Maguire.
I like my songs to have words. I like the jazz with the words.
The jazz with the words.
Like Chet Baker.
Like word jazz?
Well, word jazz. Like
no
Gil Scott Heron.
No scat singing.
No. Well, scat singing just proves that lyrics aren't important.
My mom was a singer, and when she got into her little scat stage, which was the singing, not the pooping stage, it was just like a white lady can't scat.
See, my grandma was a singer, but she was like an Irish balladeer, so she was all about the, you know, the really heartfelt lyrics.
And the malissimo.
Lots of songs about drinking and John Kennedy.
That's what we do.
And being sad.
Lots of songs about John Kennedy.
God bless my grandmother. She was an amazing singer, and I would love to follow. I wish I had followed in her footsteps instead of these, instead of the ones that I followed. But yeah.
But you have like 50 jobs, so you write all this stuff for The Voice, you're the music editor, and you teach at NYU. What do you teach?
Mm-hmm. I teach, it's called Writing About Popular Music.
Nice.
And it's a class for these students who are, like I said, like they're all, you know, aspiring musicians and producers. A couple of them want to be writers. And, you know, I'm like, well, just, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it's not that you're not talented, but, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The profession is in a weird place.
Yeah, get another job.
How are you going to ever earn back the money you spent on your education by being either A, a musician, or B, writing about music?
Well,
and C, writing about music, you know, was it Frank Zappa said it's like dancing about architecture? And this is why
that quote has been attributed to everyone.
This is why, though. You know, I have thing about most music critics is that they don't play music and they don't really understand the machinations of making.
I don't.
Music.
That's actually though what I love about teaching this class, because like I will play a piece for these students that I really like, and they'll kind of bring like their theoretical knowledge. And I mean, that's one thing that I think has been really great for me in this experience. And I do think that more writers should, you know, learn theory and learn sort of like the underpinnings and learn production techniques, so that everyone's not just saying reverb and about everything
we're gonna hear something a song that Maura really likes. Will you tell us a little bit about
okay good
artist?
And then we're gonna rate it mercilessly.
No, we're going to talk to the Oyster Guys.
Oh, the Oyster Guys are coming up. This is good. This is a lucky day because we have bivalves as well as music criticism.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is a song. This is probably going to be my number one single of 2011. It's by this woman from England named Charlie XCX. It's called Stay Away. It's very soaked in 80s retro and pathos. It reminds me a lot of the song by T'Pau, Heart and Soul. But I think that it's just really awesome. And like I've listened to it probably 150 times in the past 3 months, which is a lot, because I have to listen to a lot of other things. So.
And you never take payola, right? This is on the up and up.
No, I found out about this song from like somebody on Twitter who was like, everyone should listen to this. And I was like, oh, you know, I have a free 3 minutes. Sure. And I just was completely hooked.
Because usually you get a song played on the show, you got to slip me a Hyundai or at least a bag of coke.
Oh, yeah. That's how it works.
old school.
How does someone slip you a car? Oh, you mean 100?
Yeah. Yeah, not a Hyundai, Mara.
All right. Let's hear that song, the Charlie XCX.
We're back.
Okay, we have two votes on that song. I liked it. Mike hated it.
Oh, God.
I like Chick Rock.
I like it.
Was it Chick Rock was like being hit over the head with like a meat tenderizing mallet?
No. All right, to change subject briefly.
That 80s synth thing,
we can get back to this in a minute. We have a caller.
God, it just sounds like a Ronald Reagan hangover, that song.
Oh, God.
Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
how are
Sean.
You? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. So you guys are called Walrus and Carpenter Oysters, and you're doing an oyster CSA for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. We actually have three deliveries. So we're doing it for Thanksgiving, one before Christmas, and then for New Year's as well.
All right. And you guys, like, you give people the knives. What about the gloves? That's where I've always become bloody with the oysters.
Well, it's actually something we've thought a lot about. It's like, I think people are really intimidated about shucking oysters at home.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that difficult, and we make sure we provide shucking lessons for anybody that wants to.
That's great. When you come pick up the oysters, you can get a little shucking lesson?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, we don't let anyone leave the room unless they've at least shucked two oysters or they feel comfortable doing it themselves.
Ooh.
This is good. Well, I want to be first on record here. I'm going to buy some oysters. I'm in for a few dozen for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
You've already made one sale off the Mike and Judy show.
So where are the oysters sourced from? They're Rhode Island, is that right?
Yeah, so our farm is located in Charlestown, Rhode Island, in Nineteret Pond. It's basically a saltwater pond in Rhode Island, and it's a huge pond. It's actually 1,800 acres.
How long have you guys been doing this?
We've been doing it for about 4 years now. And last year was our first year with a CSA, and it started sort of... It's very small. We just kind of sent a few emails out to some friends and family and said, hey, look, everyone knows we've been doing this, but now it's time to sell some of our product. And this year we've just tried to make it a little bigger because it's, you know, as producers of food, we get enjoyment out of kind of connecting with the consumers too, and folks get the freshest oysters possible. So it's a win-win.
Where do you do drop-offs in New York?
So we do it in, so Jules, my partner, his mom has a studio in Tribeca.
Oh, fancy neighborhood.
We sort of make it a party so you can come and have a glass of champagne. And
this gets better every moment.
Take a shocking lesson.
Oh, my God. This is perfect. I'm going to order some, too. Tell us your website.
And Lord knows that Mike and Judy listeners need lessons in shocking.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah. The website is walrusandcarpenteroysters.com.
Cool.
Yeah, it's sort of a mouthful. We can also find us on Facebook. We're not the greatest at technology, but we try to do what we can.
You guys got a good email blast on Tasting Table, though. That's how I found out about you.
That was a great plug.
So when are you doing the pickups for Thanksgiving, just so our listeners know? When do they need to order by?
So you can order up to 3 days prior to the drop-off, and this year it's on the 23rd.
Oh, perfect. The day before
it's
Thanksgiving.
Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Well, put me down for a couple dozen. All right? And a glove.
They don't have the glove.
Oh, well, I don't like to shop unprotected.
Well, we do have some gloves, but not like those...
Chainmail, dude.
Gloves. You know those one that looks like a shark suit? It's got metal links and things like that?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a little intense. I think those run about $100. We're like,
okay, that's kind of a lot of added value.
Yeah, I'd rather get stitched up than spend $100.
So just quickly,
says the Jew.
Just quickly, like, what are the prices? How many and how much? And
yep. So we offer full shares, which are 100 oysters, and if you buy a full share, you get 100 oysters for $100. And half shares, 50 oysters, cost $62, and then quarter shares, 25 oysters for $31.
With a shuck, and everyone gets a shucking lesson.
Everyone gets a shocking lesson, yeah, and the beers are they're heavily subsidized. We ask for maybe $1 a piece.
Great,
I can't wait.
All right, well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope you get a lot of business off the Mike and Judy show.
Right on.
Okay,
because there's
great,
nothing
cool.
We love more
Mike and Judy,
than.
Hey, thank you very much.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, man.
All right.
Because it's true, we do love oysters.
Oh, my God, I love oysters.
And you wouldn't know it from this show, but we're actually on a food network.
I know. Well, that's why I figured we should have the food thing. Next week, we have a food show.
Next week, we have our friend, your friend, Aaron Lefko.
Aaron Lefko.
Who is one of the proprietors of
Little
newly
Neck?
Opened Little Neck in Gowanus. Gowanus, right?
Yeah, I would say Gowanus.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We also have the woman who runs the treats truck.
Oh,
who just has a cookbook
nice.
Out. So I'm hoping that they both bring us snacks. We've never gotten any snacks from this show.
Roberta's pizza. So. Let's not forget to mention that we are at Roberta's
Delicious
restaurant
Roberta's
here. We get
pizza.
You know, among the best pizza in New York. And so once again, we're streaming live on the Heritage Radio Network.
Hello.
That's good. So speaking of teaching people to write, maybe you should get a class at NYU. And like, this is like writing about music. You
College
should, like,
students don't need to learn how to write online personal ads. They're too busy having sex with each other.
you'd like to think.
It's true. If you're in college and you need a personal ad...
Although I probably needed a personal ad when I was in college, real talk. I probably did.
I was too busy being a whore in college to like need a... I mean...
I was too busy looking at records. That probably tells you a lot about
my
biology.
Yeah, but I mean, all you would need to do is go to the WFMU record fair, and as someone without a penis, you could leave there with like five boyfriends.
This is true. This is the Mike and Judy show where peeps meet whores.
Isn't that easy?
It's that easy. Or go to a comic book convention. Either way...
Bringing nerds and nymphets together
my
since
dating
2011.
Coach. I really do.
I really am a good dating coach.
And once again, that's Judy's online dating service. You need a name for your business.
I know. Well, I'm a lot of things are taken. I was thinking of Profile Fixer. I wanted Profile Fluffer, but then I get... You know, people aren't going to be so cool about that, you know, and I don't want But yeah, like the Life Booker has me as a personal ad makeover, which is... pretty much what it is, but it's also kind of boring. And then my column is called Date Girl at theseattleweekly.com, sister paper to
Village
Voice.
Well, I think you got to sell the Date Girl brand. I think this is good.
Yeah, Date Girl does your profile.
I like the Date Girl. I like that extension. I think that it's, you know, it shows that you have expertise in the field, which you obviously do.
Yeah, I've been writing about dating for 11 years.
I've been reading you about dating for that long, too.
Oh, it's another love fest here of the month.
Mike gets so jealous.
Hey, so Maura, what I want to ask you actually, so all these young kids running around with these bands here and, you know, quote unquote hipster Brooklyn, whatever. Are people taking drugs? Are people drunk? Is there the bacchanalia that used to be when?
What are the kids doing, Maura? What's up?
What's going on out there? Are people having sex? Are they doing drugs? Are they willfully sloppy the way it was when I came up, when rock and roll was still interesting?
It seems like they are. The drugs might be more, a little more though. You know, there might be a little more pharmaceuticals in the mix than previously.
I approve.
I think that it's still pretty, from what I've seen. And I have to be honest, you know, as a sort of older lady, I sort of let my younger charges run wild and free and bring me back the news as far as what's going on. Because
when you say news, you mean bags of pills.
You know what? I'm not going to incriminate myself
in that way.
When they had Quaaludes. Remember Quaaludes?
Yeah, but they're back, right? I mean, they're not real 714s.
Like Jack, are they back? Are Quaaludes back, Jack? He knows.
I'm not speaking about this.
The man who confessed to falling into a K-hole the other week.
Off air, yeah, thanks.
I think that there is definitely a sort of like rambunctious. It's weird because with New York, their spotlight is so trained on it that it's really easy for bands to sort of get like super huge right away. But I think that there is still like, you know, this sort of, I'm making a gesture, I'm like wavy.
Yes, we're not on TV.
Wavy hands. I'm like sort of, you know, there's this undercurrent of just like people who are just like, they just want to have a good time and they just want to make some music, whether it's rock and roll or whether it's like electronic based or hip hop or whatever.
Okay, one of the like kid bands that I kind of like
Kid bands?
Well, you know, youth. Gay for Johnny Depp. I kind of like that.
I've never heard them.
Oh my God, I got them to be in my book because I love their name.
Yeah.
And they're really funny and cute and they're kind of hardcore and...
I've never heard them.
How cool am I that I heard of a band that the Village Voice music I've never heard of?
Pretty good, Grandma.
I'm pretty cool.
Well done.
All right. You know, I mean, part of my thing, I think about just sort of being blissfully ignorant, and I really do try to keep my ear to the ground. If there was something that I liked, I would be very enthusiastic about it. I'm not as cynical, maybe, as I sometimes pretend to be. Except I do wonder what a 21-year-old kid is going to possibly have to say that ye old Mike Edison could possibly be interested in, except that all my favorite recording artists, like Miles Davis, and, you know, when Van Morrison recorded Astral Weeks, so he's like 20 years old, it was a fucking masterpiece. And all of my favorite recording artists, the stuff they started was when they were 20, you know, as well. I'm just... I don't know. This stuff sounds not mature.
But it's perspective, you know. I think it's a question of perspective and like, you know, where you are in your life now as opposed to where you were when you heard that record.
But like Amy Winehouse, she was young. Yeah. I loved her.
I think her records are okay. I'm not a big Amy Winehouse fan. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think she's a great singer and a good songwriter and all that, but I don't think she made any real contribution. I think it was soul music for people who hadn't heard soul music.
I disagree.
I think she innovated the way Frank Sinatra did? I mean, I think a lot of people sing?
I think a lot of the innovation was definitely, like the musical innovation, like as far as the beds went, was definitely a lot Mark Ronson. But I think that her voice and just when she was on, she could give pathos to some lyrics like
so
nothing
good singers
before.
Are a dime a dozen. Who
but
cares?
No, but I think that I don't think that's true, actually. I actually don't think that's true. Having had to watch in a professional capacity American Idol for the past 5 years, I do not think
that. Okay, that is not good singing.
No, but the thing is, but no,
perfection and perfection should have no place in rock.
The thing is, like, well, that's. I mean, I don't think it's about perfection. I think it's about attitude and drama. But at the same time, you know, saying that good singers are, but you're saying good singers are a dime a dozen. So that way, that means that everything is karaoke, right?
I find a lot of the stuff that is prefabricated. Look, I think Amy Winehouse is a terrific singer. I mean, absolutely. I just don't think that she moved the dial at all. I think she was this sort of soul music that filled a void at a time when people were ready to hear this sort of thing. And I think in the record industry, too, every so often you get some sort of retro act, whether it's rock and roll or soul or somebody playing roots music. We're seeing a lot of roots music in Americana now that fills a void, you know, to sort of play against... you know, synthesizer music and other sorts of more manufactured music and against corporate rock.
Well, it's all manufactured anyway.
It is, of course. But it's so they can take a pose and say, we're not corporate rock, which still sucks.
Right.
And I think Amy Winehouse benefited from that. I think they're, I mean, she was certainly doing it great and her band is great and the guys from Daptone are fantastic, you know, 100%. But I mean, is she as good as the thing that she sort of emulates? Not really.
See, I think it's also hard to sort of like when you're pitching something against the thing that it emulates, you also have to deal with the sort of cultural baggage of how hyped up. And this is not to say that the old stuff isn't really, really great, but it's just like, it's not a level playing field because you have like all of this history and you have all this sort of like shock of the new. And innovation it's important, but not all the time. Sometimes, you know, it's just the emotional wallop. And I think that, like, with Amy Winehouse's stuff, she packed that punch and it was really effective. I mean, it was funny because I hadn't listened to her stuff a lot before she passed away. You know, it just, it was one of those things where it was just like, oh, this is a good record and I appreciate it. But it just sort of like filtered back into time because there's always other stuff to listen to. But then when she passed away and I was listening to her music, it was like, oh, right, this was why, you know, like the lyrics for that song, Tears Dry on Their Own, and just, you know, some of the turns of phrase and the ways that she incorporated her vocals into those turns of phrase were just really, really intense and really like very simple yet brutal exhibitions of longing and sadness. And I think that that is a really powerful thing to do in a sort of 5-second span when you're just using your voice.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, I think if she makes people listen to older music, I mean, she might inspire young kids to go buy these old...
That's fine. I certainly discovered Howling Wolf and Muddy Waters through the Rolling Stones. I mean, that was a real thing. By the way, I think you're being very generous when you say she passed away. I mean, well, I mean, she was headed south for a while. You know, her demise was based on some lifestyle choices.
You know what happened though, right? She had been off, like she had been off drinking for a while.
Junkie mistake.
Yeah, it was like she had been off for like a couple of weeks, and then she just decided to like
go on a bender,
and that was it.
Yeah,
and like it sucks because like that. I remember watching that video of her performing in Serbia.
Yeah,
it was so
tragic.
Where she like turned to the back of, she turned her back to the crowd and took off her shoes. Yeah. And like it was just so sad, and that she, you know, then it was, she was supposedly getting her life back on track, and it was just sad.
All right, well, guess what, Judy?
Oh my god, it's the fastest half hour on the internet. Radio today is over. It's overtime.
Whoa. All right, before we go, though, for all our listeners, I'm going to be in California next week. I'm going to be in San Francisco Tuesday at Amnesia up in the Mission District, and in Los Angeles on Thursday at the Last Bookstore, Friday at the Alt Cafe in Seaside, that's Monterey, promoting my new book, Dirty, Dirty, Dirty. Please tune in. Find Judy McGuire's new, as yet unnamed business if you were doing online dating and want to get laid.
Dategirl.net.
Dategirl, not debt. And Maura Johnson, where are we going to find you?
VillageVoice.com.
All right, follow us on Facebook. See you guys next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Squinting faces at the sky. A Harold Robbins paperback. Servants drop their balls and dry. And everybody wants a hat. But behind the chalet, my holiday's complete. And I feel like we're... Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.